Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Nick Ferguson joining us here.
Oh, just think of the time.
Nick, you have been very, very clear in your, really your stance and your view of things that it's almost, you know, I'm not saying, well, I did say that you truly didn't believe it last week. But you have been really just steadfast in being that the Broncos got this, even after the tough loss against the Raiders, a team that they were favored to beat. Hey, they can still get to 12-4. Garrett Bowles, let's look at the positives. Let's not look at the negatives. I am not exaggerating when I say I'm very curious to hear your take on Garrett after what we saw yesterday.
Well, just like everyone else, I'm a little disappointed, upset, because here is Garrett. I know most people have come to know me as being a Garrett Bowles apologist, and that's just not it. I like to point out all the factors. I'm a firm believer in if you're going to talk about what someone did from a negative standpoint, you should be able to point out something that they did positive. I look at it as almost the rearing of children. You're not going to constantly tell your kid, hey, listen, you did this poorly. I mean, at some point you have to reinforce them with a little bit of positivity to send them on their way.
Sure.
So they're thinking, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, I didn't do that right, but I'm doing something correctly. That's the same way I look at Garrett Bowles, and I was frustrated because the holding penalties that he received, for me, those are really simple, fundamental type of plays, showed a lack of focus and a lack of discipline. If you're going to get your hand outside, and it's usually his left hand that he gets on the outside shoulder of the defender. And what coaches like to teach is get that hand right back inside. Because I'm sure Stokely's been in situations where you have to go dig out a linebacker or get a DB on an outside run, and maybe your hands may get outside based on how he's trying to turn. But you try to relocate your hands and get it on that inside breastplate, and not seeing that consistently is disappointing for me. And I don't know exactly what Mike Munchak is coaching him as far as the details of how to do that. Whatever he's doing, however he's teaching, it's obvious that Garrett isn't picking it up.
And that's the issue here. You hear him after the game, and he's saying, they got it out for me. And he's not understanding the things that he's doing wrong. And I think that's the first thing to correcting issues that you have.
Absolutely.
Is realizing and looking at yourself and saying, that's not good enough. I am doing this wrong. I have to correct myself from doing it. And so for me, that's the most mind-numbing thing that I hear from Garrett Bowles. Just say, like, come out there and say, I got to be better. My technique's got to be better. Don't come out and start blaming the referees that they're out to get you, that they got an agenda to throw holding flags on Garrett Bowles, because that's not it. And so that's what frustrates me in this whole process. If he would just come out and say, I've got to get better, I'm going to work my tail off to get better, and I will be better, then I could be in his corner. But I'm jumping out of his corner now, and I've been with you to a certain degree on Garrett Bowles and giving him opportunities. But now I'm done, because this guy just doesn't understand it. And it hasn't been just this year, Nick. That's the thing. Is he's had multiple coaches. You know they've taught him. You can't do that. You can't wrap guys up around him. And he still continues to do that. And then he still continues to look like, why are they calling me for holding flags? Like, why are they throwing holding flags on me? And that to me is just like, dude, if you don't get it by now, you'll probably never get it.
You're absolutely right. In his post-game interview, he kind of alluded to it towards the end that he has to get better. But he led with the fact of, hey, they got it out for me. But he put himself in that situation. The officials are watching him, right? And that's why when I was a player, I would always talk to the officials before the game. Hey, watch 81. When he runs that over route, sometimes he likes to grab guys and tug them so they can write that down. So every time there is a drop back or there's a run play, there's a guy standing behind the quarterback. And his eyes is not on anyone else. They're fixated on Garrett. But Garrett created this problem, and only Garrett can actually fix it. And here's what happens with a lot of players. And it's no different with Garrett. when you start to struggle, whether it's physically or mentally, you revert back to what you know best. And this is an issue that he's had playing in college at Utah, and it just transitioned here. Once again, Mike Munchak is one heck of a coach. And right now, he's taking it on the chin because Garrett can't seem to carry over what he's supposed to do in practice into the games. And that's disheartening for me. And I put this on Twitter, right? I put this on Twitter. As a coach, you said with every player, I'm allowing you to do it your way. If it's not working, you do it my way. Mm. And then if it's not working the way that I'm trying to coach you, I need to find someone else.
Sure.
And right now, that's where the situation is. You need to find someone else, but you have to stick with them at this point because the organization has done a poor job of developing and drafting offensive linemen. And it started like after Ryan Clayton. I think he was probably the best guy they drafted until he was injured. But up and after that, you don't really have those guys. So I'm going to give you guys a suggestion as far as what I think the Broncos could do to solve this issue. Now, we know Dalton Risner can play both guard and tackle. How about try this on for size? All right, you know Juwan James is out. So you have Connor McGovern playing the center. Your right guard, Ronald Leary, right tackle is Elijah Wilkinson.
Yep.
Your left guard is now Garrett Bowles, and your left tackle is now Dalton Risner.
So just have your guard and your tackle flip on the left side.
Well, here's my issue with that. Risner, I know he's played tackle and he's played every position at Kansas State, but this year we've just put him at guard, and that's pretty much all he's played is guard. I would hate to all of a sudden throw him out there to the wolves and make this type of switch right now. I'd rather find somebody else. I'd rather leave Risner where he's at. He's doing a nice job. I don't want to screw him up his rookie season, and let's find somebody else to replace Bowles.
Well, even if here's another thing that you could do. I mean, they brought Jake Rogers back, a guy who mm-hmm. I wasn't really high on, you know, in the preseason, but to kind of let Garrett Bowles sit there and marinate and think about some of the mistakes that he's made. See if you can slide, you know, Jake Rogers into that position.
How about
left tackle position?
What about moving Elijah Wilkinson to left tackle? That guy's played every position, and then moving one of these younger guys to the right tackle spot.
You can do that.
I would prefer that. If we're going to make this type of move,
right,
I'd want to keep Risner where he's at. And if you move him at all, I'd move him to right tackle and then move Wilkinson to left tackle. But I just don't want to touch Risner.
I just want to say this. The one position he didn't play at Kansas State was left tackle. He played center. He plays guard here now. And he was an all-conference player two times over at right tackle. So I agree with you. If you're going to make a dramatic move like that, at least he has some sort of frame of reference on the right side.
Right.
But that's the one thing I love about this situation. That's why, even though my 12-4 may be in the toilet right now, but I'm still optimistic about it.
It's been flushed.
Okay.
It's not in the toilet. It's in the pipe down.
Yeah, that's gone.
Lucky you go down the hole. Yes, it has, but I'm still optimistic about this team because every now and again, they'll show you something that make you go, oh, well, this team has some ability. I mean, you look at the two games that they played thus far. The defense, I guess with the exception of the Raiders game, you know, they played well. They did a good job shutting down the outside run and explosive runs, but they haven't really had any sacks, right? So we look down on the defense as a whole. But looking at the offense, too, that first half wasn't that great, even though they had five possessions and they failed to score points. Only on one they were able to, and that was kicking the field goal. So to me, I am optimistic still that this team still is a quality ball team. They've lost some tight games. They've shown that they can fight back. And a lot of teams would have quit by now.
They got to just do the little things. You know, yes, they're close in football games. And that's the difference between being a 500 or a winning team, 9-7 team, to being a 6-10, 5-11 team, is you got to do the little things. And yesterday, they had a chance. I mean, no game is going to be perfect. They had a chance. And then at the end, when they have to deliver in the last 2 minutes, the last 30 seconds, they didn't do it. And that's the difference. And one of those plays that really cost the Broncos was Flacco's interception.
And we're going to break it down next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.
All right, Stoke, you want to shed some light as to what happened on the Joe Flacco red zone interception. What do you got for us?
Big play of the game, obviously. You get down there, it's third and goal from the two-yard line. Had a nice drive going. You'd like to finish it off with a touchdown, maybe a field goal. I don't know if they would have gone for it in that situation or not. The way Vic Fangio was going about his business, they probably would have gone for it in that situation, getting down there and being so close. But third and goal, Broncos 2 yard line, Flacco interception. Here's what happened. And I don't put anything of this on Joe Flacco. He could have made a better throw, but the situation was you had trips to the right side. You had three wide receivers over there. Deshaun Hamilton is the far inside guy. He motions pre-snap from the right to the left. So now you got two wide receivers right, two wide receivers left. What you're doing there is you're getting a pre-snap indicator. What are they playing? Are they playing man? Are they playing zone?
Sure.
When he motioned over, the safety that was in the middle of the field that was going to come down and cover him, he moved from more of the middle of the field to the left side. So he followed him over there. Everybody is mugged up on the line of scrimmage. Everybody is. What are we going to see? We're seeing cover zero. No help over the middle. Everybody is singled up. And if you watch the football game last night, Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, kept bringing cover zero over and over and over again, and Atlanta could not figure it out. They finally made them pay for it with the Julio Jones play. They finally figured it out. Cover zero is everybody for themselves, man-to-man, no help anywhere, and that's what the Bears are doing. Those are the type of coverages you usually see in gotta-have-it situations. You're either going to play coverage or you're going to bring the house. Bears are bringing the house. Joe Flacco knows it. He sees it. They have a great play for it. They have a little rub route, a little pick play. So your inside guy's Emmanuel, your outside guy's Cortland. All Cortland's going to try to do is come and get in the way of the guy covering Emmanuel Sanders. And you try to lose him over the top. Make him go over the top. Or underneath, really, doesn't really matter in that situation, because once Emmanuel breaks to the out, he's going to be wide open. It's going to be a touchdown. So you just got to make the guy slow up a little bit. You can't run into him because they will call it in that situation. And Cortland did a good job. Emmanuel did a good job of setting it up and then breaking out. The Bears did a better job. They know what teams like to do. What did they do in that situation? They passed it off. So the guy that intercepted that was Fuller, I believe.
Yep.
Fuller and the inside guy, they had it on, and they knew that if they try to run this pick route, we're going to pass it off. I'm going to stay inside. You're going to stay outside. So for me, everything is looking like cover zero, where these guys stay with their receiver. But in this situation, you just got to have to take your hat off to the Chicago Bears and how they executed it. They out-executed the Denver Broncos right there. And Flacco didn't throw a great ball a little bit high, because if it was on the money, I think Emmanuel still would have caught it. I don't know if he would have scored or not, but it may be a back shoulder ball. But he's expecting all Emmanuel has to do is beat the inside guy,
right?
Which he did. He wasn't expecting the outside guy to fall off. So in that situation, I kind of say, all right, you just kind of have to tip your hat to the defense and say, great job by them by out-executing us.
Nick, what'd you think of that breakdown?
I love your breakdown, but I have to disagree with you.
With what?
Let me tell you. From a defensive standpoint, here's the route that gives defenders issues. We're dealing with a reduced amount of real estate, right? And usually, whether it's high school, college, or in the pros, what you typically see out of this formation, you're right, 3-by-1, motion to 2-by-2, back is offset, Freeman to Joe Flacco's right. Usually, that is a sprint out. You want that running back to go and seal the edge so the quarterback can get outside. What, you know, it was Fant outside with Emmanuel Sanders. Fant came in to create what would be
it
a natural.
Portland.
No, Cortland was on the opposite side.
Oh, that was Fant?
Yeah, it was Fant. So Fant was coming in trying to create a natural pick. but he didn't do a great job at it.
It was Fant. Right. Yes, sorry.
The route I would have run in that case, once again, knowing how it creates
issues. But why didn't he do
defense.
A great job of it?
Because when he came up to run that rub route, look at it again. He didn't do a great job of kind of causing a little distraction. Usually you want to cause distraction to make that guy go over, right? I don't think he ran a great route, but the better route would have been Emmanuel Sanders coming up like he's going to face Stutter just a little bit to run the out route. Fant runs somewhat of a short go route. That would have pulled the eyes of Fuller to make him come out.
After the fact, yes. But like during, I'm not going to look at it after the fact and say, well, they could have done that. They could have done that. I like the play call versus cover zero. It's a pick rub route with Fant coming in. And I thought he did a good job of making the guy go over the top. Did the Bears not do a good job of passing that off though? And that's where I say they did a great job of passing it off. And Fuller made a great interception on the play. Nice job by him. And I understand why Flacco threw the ball to Emmanuel.
Here's what I want you to look at, because I know you're looking at the play, right? Me understanding from a defensive standpoint and what gives us problems in the back end, even if you're looking to pass that off. If Fant outside releases, he's going to take the eyes of Fuller right now. Fuller cannot really sit on that out route that Emmanuel Sanders is going to run.
Right.
And now when Joe throws that ball, like he did on the two-point conversion, you throw it towards the sideline, giving your guy an opportunity to run and catch. And if he doesn't catch it, it goes out of bounds. That's why I say, well, the play call should have been a lot better than what it was.
And I understand what you're saying. For me, you know, there's 100 things that they could have done now. I didn't mind the play call because I think it's a perfect coverage for that play call. I think you got Emmanuel doing a great job of coming up and giving a little bit of a hesitation in front of the cornerback in front of him. I thought Noah Fant did a good job of coming in, getting his pick and his rub on that guy. I just think the Bears did a better job and knew what was coming. And
But Stoke, that's how you take the eyes of the DB. You make him think that he has to defend the outside edge of the field where the pylon is. So now you force Fuller to take a drop step and you create space.
I understand what you're saying. And you were saying earlier, you know, you got Freeman over there. You could have done a little quick sprint in the old 49er play where we saw Joe Montana throw it to Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone. Well, the first read was the slot guy running a little quick out. And that's kind of what you're talking about is Joe Flacco just sprint out, Emmanuel comes up and gives a little stutter hesitation, and then he runs a quick out. Noah Fant, instead of coming in and picking, he takes an outside release and kind of gets him out of the way. They could have called up a better play, I guess, but I don't mind this play versus the coverage that they got. I just think that the Bears did a good job, and sometimes you just got to take your hat off to those guys and say, good job by the Bears.
If you run that play, and knowing how difficult it's been for the Broncos to score points inside the red zone, you help the defense. We play with vision. Now we can sit off. Now we can communicate. Now we can pass that route off. Make it a little difficult for those DBs to pass that route off. That's all I'm saying. And that can happen.
Right. I got you. But that's why I also said I don't really put that on Flacco. He's looking at the situation. It looks like they got what they want. He throws it, and the Bears intercept it because they did a little bit of better job. They were on it.
Exactly.
Nick, great seeing you. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you, Nick.
There's a name that wasn't mentioned much on the broadcast yesterday, and the silence is becoming deafening. We'll get into it next. There was a name that wasn't mentioned a whole heck of a lot on yesterday's broadcast, and the silence is becoming rather deafening. The name I'm talking about is Von Miller.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Von was not much of a factor in yesterday's game. I know he was involved in, you know, the run defense. But for what Von is known for, just was not really a factor. He finished the football game with 2 tackles. One of them assisted, and that's it. Why is this? And how concerned should Broncos country be?
It's hard for me to answer that. I mean, you look at Von, you see the things that he can do, and I still think he's a great football player. Just think right now, we're not seeing the sacks. We're not seeing the impact plays for different reasons. You know, you're playing from behind. You don't have the lead, which it is what it is. You still got to be able to generate pressure. That's the thing too. I want to see more pressure from him. I don't have to necessarily see the sacks. Just want to see more pressure. Be in the backfield. You know, we saw Chubb there at the end of the game, like get to Trubisky at least. They got called for a bogus roughing the passer penalty, but at least he was right there. Where were you at, Vaughn? You know, these are the times that you got to show up. Game's on the line. I don't care what happened against the Raiders. I don't care what happened for the first 3.5 quarters. If you finish the game off with a sack right there on 4th and 15 or on 3rd and 10 and the game's over because you just sacked the quarterback, then you know what? You had a great game. You delivered when the Broncos needed you the most, but you didn't. And I don't know the reason why. I don't know why we're not seeing Vaughn make an impact on the football field, but the facts are we're not.
We're not.
Those are just the facts. And he's got to start doing a better job of making an impact on the game. And we see the Bears guys doing it, and maybe Khalil Mack's not getting a lot of sacks, but they are getting holding calls. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. They're hitting the quarterback. We need more from Vaughn Miller.
Period. And I'm glad you differentiated the sack total from game impact. I, like you, am not overemphasizing the sack total. Now, do we want to see Vaughn Miller sack the quarterback? Of course. Does Vaughn want to see Vaughn sack the quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Doubly and triply so. And don't think that he's not losing his mind right now. Don't think he's not losing his mind after two football games passed and he has zero sacks. But that said, my bigger issue, like you, is that we're not seeing him flirt with the sack. We're not seeing him chase a quarterback, not one time. We're not seeing him get his hand on the shoulder pad of a quarterback. We're just not seeing
it. Why? I mean, like, I'm having a hard time trying to explain why we're not seeing it. I mean, we watched Vaughn at training camp. I mean, Vaughn looks great. He's in shape. He looks great. He doesn't look any different than he looked last year, the year before. We're just not seeing the production. We're not seeing it equal out in his performance on the football field. I watch him play the run, and he does a good job of playing the run, and he's – why?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening right now around this town is that a lot of people are making a lot of excuses for Vaughn. That, oh, it's the game plan. They're getting the ball out quick. Well, guess what? Then Vaughn Miller's never going to have another sack in his career. If that's how easy it is, and by the way, that's being overemphasized. There was opportunities to get to Mitchell Trubisky yesterday.
Of course there was.
And maybe none more chief among them than the 4th and 15 play. Go back and watch the play. And you and I watched it here for other reasons during a commercial break. But I said, hey, you gotta rewind that because I was watching Vaughn there just get stonewalled. It's not all because the quarterbacks are getting it out in 1.9 seconds. There are opportunities and a part of it has to do with the position that Vaughn's being put into. Like, I'm seeing Vaughn drop into coverage.
And that happens sometimes, but it's too much for my liking. I mean, we saw yesterday Leonard Floyd of the Bears dropping in coverage like in two consecutive plays. When they were bringing the pressure off the right side, and both of them fooled the Broncos, and he got to Flacco both times, two plays in a row. And Floyd almost had two picks both times. So you're going to drop into coverage sometimes, but for me, it's a little bit too much. Like on third down, Vaughn needs to be rushing the passer. We need to have him going after the quarterback. Let's not get too cute here and try to bring a weak side blitz and have Vaughn drop into coverage. I mean, come on. Have him rush the quarterback every now and then. Sprinkle that thing in there, and I'm okay with it. You need to have that in the 3-4 defense. But for the most part, your pass rusher that you're getting paid to sack the quarterback and not cover guys, he needs to be sacking the quarterback.
My thoughts exactly. That let's not try to overthink things.
You know, and after this Vaughn talk, I want to talk about the last play.
Okay.
Because Vic hinted on what happened on that play, and we watched it, and I think I know who blew the coverage. But I'll talk about that after we finish this Vaughn talk.
Yeah, no, I just want to say that, you know, my mom used to always say this, keep the main thing the main thing. keep the main thing the main thing. When it's third and eight,
yeah.
Von Miller, go get that man. That's why you're making $17 million this year.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Go get the quarterback. That's what he's going to go into the Hall of Fame for. Not because he's great at dropping in coverage. And I know he intercepted. I got it. But
AFC Championship game.
Right. I got it.
Brady. Nobody's saying anything then.
I got it.
Everybody forgot that.
Look, I got it. But keep the main thing the main thing. Yep. When it's third and eight, your job is to go get the quarterback. Vaughn will tell you that. And by the way, I think he's ripping his hair out from dropping in coverage. I think he's ripping his freaking hair out.
I think he's very frustrated right now with how things have played out in the first two games. And
like, you're supposed to make me better, Vic.
Right.
Like, you're supposed to make me look like a first-team All-Pro that I am. And so far, I mean, Von Miller is not even in the Defensive Player of the Year picture after two games. He's not in the frame.
Shaq Barrett is in the middle of the picture, and you know the guy that he was playing behind isn't even close.
And again, it's not about sack totals. It's about leaving your fingerprints on an NFL football game.
That's right.
And unfortunately, I can't reference a single play over the course of two games where Von Miller left his DNA on the game.
Can't argue that. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, because sacking the quarterback sometimes is a lucky thing. You know, you're just fortunate. The guy holds it too long, bat, whatever, tries to escape the pocket. And we saw one last night with Carson Wentz. He tried to escape the pocket to the left, and Lane Johnson did a great job on Beasley, running him all the way around the quarterback, and then Beasley gets a sack. I mean, it was a great hustle by him, but it was awful quarterback play by Wentz. You just can't hold the ball for 10 seconds and then think you're not going to get sacked at all. So some of that is luck involved with the sacks, but we need to see more impact in the pressure,
right?
Being around the football.
Right.
And that's what you see from the Bears guys. When you look at their impact that they're having, maybe they're not getting the sacks, but man, they're sure getting holding calls. They're sure getting pressure. We're seeing none of that from the Broncos. And the whole getting the ball out quick thing, you're right. Look. Flacco was getting rid of the ball really quick. I mean, underneath.
Yep.
You know, he was like 12 for 12 for 12 yards. I mean, everything was underneath, quick. Get rid of the football. He was doing a good job of it. Broncos were doing a good job of it. But still, there was no excuses for the Bears pass rushers. They were still making an impact. Because sooner than later, you're going to be singled up. Sooner rather than later, you're going to have to throw the football down the field. And when the Broncos did it, the Bears made them pay for it. When the Bears did it, the Broncos never made them pay for it.
The last thing I thought I'd be saying into this microphone after two games is that Von Miller doesn't have a quarterback hit in two games. The team yesterday collectively had two. By the way, the team yesterday, once again, did not have a turnover. This Broncos defense has no turnovers. That happened a total of five times a year ago. That Vance Joseph defense, five games only, out of the 16, did they not force a turnover? And it's happened two of the first two games here with the Broncos in 2019. It's got to get better. And by the way, because I'm going to forget, I have to mention this. I'm watching a handful of games yesterday. I'm flipping back between the Red Zone and different morning games. And the Cardinals game's on. And Chris Carter is on the call. And this was on the Red Zone channel.
How did you like him?
I'm not a fan of Chris Carter in general.
I like his broadcasting though.
Okay, I want to hear more. Actually really haven't heard Chris Carter a lot on game calls. I think he's just getting into it.
So they got him. Yeah, they got him calling the Cardinals.
So I'm just not a Chris Carter, you know, find a fall guy type of fan.
Okay.
But that said, they go to Vance Joseph on the camera and they start talking about his defense and Chris Carter, and I know a lot of you Red Zone watchers heard this yesterday. Chris Carter said a lot of folks within the business, not fans, he said a lot of folks within the business believes that Vance Joseph got an incredibly raw deal in Denver working for John Elway. Said that on the broadcast. And I just said, huh, within NFL circles, deep right. within private conversations, what are they saying about Vance's tenure? I think it's entirely different from what this fan base is saying about Vance Joseph. From what the perception of inside NFL circles privately are saying about his tenure in Denver.
Interesting.
Just fun to relay that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, I didn't hear it. And I'm sure there is a lot of that and some of that for sure around the NFL, because they realize that, you know, Vance, he didn't do himself any favors, but he also, look, I mean, it wasn't an ideal situation that you're coming into here. It really wasn't. It was a lot worse than what he expected and thought when it comes to this the talent on this football team. And you thought you had a young quarterback. You didn't.
No, you didn't.
And that's where the house started collapsing right there. But the other thing that I want to say real quick about, you know, you say no turnovers. I don't believe they have a sack in two games.
They do not. They do not. As a team, they do not.
So no turnovers and no sacks in two football games.
I mean, who saw this coming?
I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, a defense that, I mean, they're going to be getting turnovers and sacks. They're made to do these types of things. And look, and that's the other thing here. It's only been two games, right? We're only two games into this thing, but we expected more from this defense. I'm not pushing the panic button at all on Von Miller saying he's not going to have a good football season. Bradley Chubb's not going to have a good football season. This defense is not going to create turnovers. But two football games in, no sacks, no turnovers, and you played the Raiders and the Bears offense. Both of those offenses stink. They're not very good when it comes to the NFL. And you compare them to some of these other offenses that you're going to play. You should have played better. You should have caused more chaos, more turnovers. You got to get some sacks.
There's only
four turnovers.
There's only four teams in football right now. After just 2 weeks, there's only four left that don't have a turnover.
How about which ones don't have a turnover or a sack?
Well,
Broncos might be the only one.
I'm sure that they are.
Give me the four.
The four teams that don't have a turnover: Cleveland, who hasn't played their second football game yet.
Okay, so we can't say them.
Can't count them yet. They're on Monday Night Football tonight against the New York Trevors. You got the New York Giants.
Trev.
Who got their head kicked in yesterday by the Buffalo Bills, who won the New York State Championship by beating the Jets and the Giants in back-to-back weeks at MetLife.
Good for the Bills. Good for you, bud.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Josh Allen, a couple of those throws, man, he looks like a budding franchise quarterback.
Give me the other ones, please. Before we start crowning Josh Allen as a franchise quarterback, just like y'all did Ryan Fitzpatrick about 10 years ago. And gave him like $80
million. And then like week six, it was like in the middle of the season. Yeah. Like,
woo, we got to keep Fitzmagic around here, baby. Give him 80. Some people wanted to do that for Trev right?
Thank you.
But y'all actually followed through with it over there.
And then the Jacksonville Jags. So these are the four teams in pro football who have not. So only three, because we're not counting the
Cleveland,
Browns.
Right, okay, Giants, Jacksonville,
Jags, and Broncos. That's it.
I wonder which one, if any of them, no sacks also.
Yesterday, Josh Allen was sacked three times. So we know it's not the New York Giants.
Right, because they got a sack. Now, how about Jacksonville? That's the only other team, because Cleveland's playing tonight. And you can check if Cleveland got a sack on Mariota in the first week. So check that out real quick. I want to break down the last play of the game and who I think might have blew the coverage.
Okay. Wait, I have the answer here.
You have the answer. Right here. Look at you, Cox. I mean, you move so quick.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jags had four sacks just yesterday alone.
Okay. How about Cleveland? Did they get a sack first week? Just check, because we might be able to take them off the list right now.
Well, they're the last name on the list.
Right.
Against the Titans week one, the Cleveland Browns.
They had to get a sack.
Now, they had four of them.
Yeah. So there you go. The Broncos are the only team in the NFL with no turnovers, no sacks through 2 weeks.
I'm tweeting this right now.
Why don't you go ahead and tweet this right now? Okay. And I'll break down the play. Okay. I'll entertain our audience while you just self-promote yourself. Go figure. Now, who's the diva? Go figure. You just take the rest of the show off. I just got the rest of the show. There you go.
My mic's off.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect. Now people won't tune out. They'll listen a little bit more here. The last play, Vic talked about it. They asked him about it. If there was a mistake made there. And he said yes. Obviously, somebody blew a coverage there. I went back and I was trying to watch and trying to figure out what was going on. And it is a little bit hard to decipher from the TV copy. I think tomorrow I will be able to watch the coach's copy. It's not up right now for me to view.
Right, that could be good. And Tuesday.
Tomorrow. So I will either confirm it or say I was wrong.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure of how this thing worked out from what I was able to view. This is my educated guess here, okay? Not 100% sure until I get the TV copy, but Vic said somebody blew the coverage there. And from what I saw, it looked like they were showing zone, and it looked like they almost went to a two-man concept where you have two deep safeties, and then you have everybody man underneath. And we saw Chris Harris on a man. It looked like Yottam was on the left side running with the man. We saw both linebackers take off and go after the running backs, like void a zone area. So it's not zone. It's some kind of man. There was only one person not playing man, Zach.
Uh-oh.
Only one that wasn't playing man that was playing zone, and that was Kareem Jackson, number 22.
Oh, no.
One person missed their assignment, and I think it was Kareem Jackson that dropped into coverage and let Robinson run free, and that's why he was scot-free and nobody was covering him and nobody was playing a zone in that area. There wasn't zone. It was man. And there was only one guy not playing man, and that was Kareem Jackson. Those are the types of things. You can have 10 guys doing the right thing. If you got one guy not doing the right thing, it's all for naught. And that's what happened on that play.
And that's unfortunate. I'm saying, oh, no, because Kareem Jackson, in my mind, has played almost the most clean football of any Bronco defender.
He's been great. He's been absolutely great. He's tough, physical, short tackler. And when you needed him, just to do his job. It wasn't like the Robinson made a great play and ran a great route. You just handed it to him.
Right.
You just didn't even cover him.
Oh, man.
And when everybody else is playing man, guess what? There's nobody sitting in a zone. The guy's just wide open.
That explains it. I mean, that's why he is scot-free.
Wide open is because 10 guys were doing their job. In the secondary, 6 guys were playing man coverage, and the 7th was playing zone and let his guy run free. And that's why Allen Robinson was wide open and nobody was around him.
Wow. So a mental
mistake.
A mental mistake.
Not a physical mistake. I couldn't cover you. Too quick, too fast. Great catch, contested catch. Nope, just mental, Zach. And once again, I'll go back and look at it when I can get a better view, because the TV copy didn't show everything, the whole back end, and the coaches will, because you'll get a better view of the whole football field and what everybody's doing. But from what I gather, that is what happened. It was Kareem Jackson that just did not play man on that coverage. One breakdown, man.
The Broncos were in position. The Broncos were in position to win that game. They forcibly put themselves in position to win the game. They were down. It didn't look good. They come back. They take the lead. The Broncos went from being darlings of the NFL day in a comeback where Vic Fangio, legend, that seed gets planted. He goes for 2, wins the game. He went for 2 at home. At home. I hated the call.
I did too.
I hate it. You do that on the road and get out of there and get right on the plane.
When you're a big underdog, not when you got the momentum at home.
And that's the thing. You had the momentum, but it worked. It worked.
They
converted the 2-point conversion. The game should have been over. It should have been it. The Broncos went from darlings of the NFL day in comeback fashion, and Vic Fangio is being lauded here around town. It went from that to colossal gut punch, heart being ripped out of your chest loss, 0-2 for the first time since 1999, staring at Green Bay on the road.
Yeah, it's amazing how quick things can change and the story can change. I mean, all we'd have been talking about today was, you know, Vic, I mean, great job of managing that game. He went for 4th down earlier in the game from like the 50, and I'm like, no, I wouldn't go for it here either. And he did. They converted it. They went for 2 other 4th downs and converted it. Look, he was dialing things up. He was on it. And then you go for the 2-point conversion, you make it. I mean, the whole story should have been Vic Fangio pushing all the right buttons. They win the football game. And then you see his face after that kicker made the field goal, and I wanted to cry for him. I mean, he was sick to his stomach. I mean, you could see it in his face. He was sick. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for Vic. But that's the way it is in the NFL. You got to finish games off, and the Broncos didn't. And it's a shame. It's a shame because they had that thing won. They fought hard. It wasn't perfect, but they had it right there, and they didn't finish it off.
We got the drive coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.